Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Step Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York. I'm your moderator for this morning, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, boy. Well, today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2026, and we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, We Agnostics. We are on page 47, the second paragraph, which starts, We Needed to Ask Ourselves. Reading to the end of that paragraph, effective spiritual structure can be built. And today's readers, we have the 12 steps, Sarah G., the 12 traditions, Maria H. Our reader of the text this morning is Tricia D., page 164, Sally A. Our backup is Tamara C. Our newcomer greeter is Sima M. And our second hour host is Eileen M. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, June 23rd, for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,573. That's 23573. And for our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the ID is 23,574. That's 23574. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sarah G. to please come in and read the 12 steps. Come on in, Sarah.
Hi, good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over our food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to prove our conscious contact with God as we understood him, being only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry these steps, this message, to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Sarah. I will now ask Maria H. to please come in and read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Maria.
Thank you, Kathy. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Maria. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics. We are on page 47, the second paragraph, which starts, "We needed to ask ourselves." I will now ask Tricia D. to please come in and read for us. Come on in, Tricia.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Tricia D., and I'm a compulsive overeater from Georgia. And thank you for your service, Kathy. All right, page 47, second paragraph. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Again, powerful, powerful paragraph. And I ask myself this question: Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? You remember, many 5-6 years ago, on my knees asking myself this question as I was going through, this is a step 2 question, am I willing to believe? And it's just, Lord, my greatest fear was, please don't let me give up my sweets, my trigger foods, because I felt like I had given up. I believed and trusted him in everything, but gosh, that was such a comfort to me. And yet that I did not realize that he was the greatest comforter. It says we're on our way. And so I looked up, just what does cornerstone mean, as it says here, that it has been repeatedly proven that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. I looked up cornerstone, that it means that it's the foundation. And of course, the foundation of any relationship is trust. So in my situation, I had to believe and trust that if I did turn my life over to my higher power, which I call God, would he be there for me? Would my life be better, oh my gosh, it has been incredibly better. So I have no more options because I was at death's door, literally, you know. And I've shared before I've had to have a liver transplant 9 years ago due to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease due to sugar and flour. It destroyed my liver. And so I, as I see here on the page before, page 45, in italics, it says, we have to find a power greater than ourselves. But where are we going to find that? And that was exactly what this book is about. These steps, this the awareness of a greater God consciousness that, and I can prove without a shadow of a doubt in the last, you know, many, many years, really, that there's no, the comparison is incredible how my life is so much richer and greater, and I've lived in a greater confidence in myself and knowing that my higher power is always there for me and always looking out for me and raises me to such higher levels of just knowing who I am. And I'm striving every day to be the woman that God wants me to be. You know, I've never known such an awesome power and an awesome love and a God of such miracles in my life that I can now put down the food and it doesn't call to me. It's just a miracle. And that I want to serve. I can't wait to help other people and just take others through the steps. It has just been the greatest gift that God's given me. And I am so grateful for abstinence today. And those on the line, they're newcomers. Don't be afraid to turn your life and your will over to your higher power, that I call God, because He is the answer to all our problems. You know, God is everything or God is nothing. And Kathy, thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Trisha, for getting us started. I'm now going to take some names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on either Monday or Tuesday on either meeting, we ask that you step back so that your friends can share. Okay, please press star one. I'm ready
Harlan
to say.
G.
I heard Harlan
the M.
Sally A.
Kimberly K.
Sophie S.
Laurel D.
M.
Okay, hold on
Felicia
a second.
Ash.
Okay, I'm going to tell you who I have, and then you can tell me who I missed, okay? I have Harlan, Sally, Kimberly, Felicia. There was somebody after Harlan. I didn't get the name.
Elsie M.
Is it a Marcy?
Laurel.
Elsie.
B.
Who was that after Harlan?
Elsie.
Elsie
M.
And Laurel. Mm-hmm. Elsie M. And Laurel.
Suzanne M.
Yeah. Suzanne.
You have Sima M.
Okay, I'm going to stop after Sima. Okay, this is who I have. Harlan, Elsie, Sally, Kimberly, Felicia, Laurel, Suzanne, Bonnie, and Sima. Okay, Harlan, I'm going to have you start, and I will give you a gentle warning. Not. Thank you. Come on in, Harlan.
Please, Kathy, don't be gentle. I'm outside. There's trucks backing up here. There's all kinds of stuff. I'm Harlan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona, where it's already 94 degrees at 4:00 in the morning. Do I believe or am I willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? Let's take a look. If I'm unwilling to believe, I'm dead. But wait a minute. I can't be willing to believe in a power greater than myself. I can't believe there's starving kids in China. There's injustice in the world. There's wars. There's famines. There's kids that are puppies that are dying. I can't believe in God. There's no way. Well, when man... is it unjust to man? God is crying too. Because human beings have free will. We can do good, we can do bad. We can do this, we can do that. And lots of people through the ages have chosen to do horrible, horrible things to their fellow human being. But God cried too. If I'm not willing to believe, I'm not going to believe or be even willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself that I choose to call God, I'm not going to recover. Now, if I thought that eating Oreo cookies would bring back one chattel slave, if I thought that eating Oreo cookies would free the unjust, I'd eat them. I'd eat them gladly. But I am the descendant of the murdered. I am the descendant of the murdered because my family was obliterated off the face of the earth from 6 weeks old to 77 years old. They were murdered. For what? And the world watched. So I should eat ice cream, right? Now, who does that help? Does it help God? No. Does it give God a sock in the stomach that says, I'm not going to believe in you? I'm fighting a battle that doesn't exist, and I am losing every time. For the last 27 years, I have not found it necessary to compulsively overeat, nor have I wanted to. This kid who grew up in Chicago, a suffering compulsive overeater, is free. That serves God. And the only way I can serve him and the only way I can achieve that freedom is through God. Because it says on page 43, among other places, that my defense must come from a higher power. And the main object of this book is to help me find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. So what
That's
are we talking
fine,
about
friend.
Here? Okay, Kathy. Thank you very much for your service. And with this.
Thank you, Harlan. Next up, we have Elsie, followed by Sally, and then Kimberly. Elsie, please come in and give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling in from, please.
Hi, this is Elsie M. from Pennsylvania. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes, we hear you well.
All right, great. I just can't tell you enough how much comfort I get from the sentences, and I'm willing to believe. When I was first working step two a couple of times ago, I think, my sponsor had me read that sentence over and over again every single day. For like a month, I read that sentence. And now that sentence gives me such comfort in the simplicity of it. It just comes down to that. Am I willing to believe in a power greater than myself? It's kind of like brings it down to its simplest form. And for that, I can just stop and reflect and say, yes, I am willing to believe. And because I see how God has worked in others, how my fellows have been affected by their higher power, it really gives me a sense of peace and comfort to read that sentence, and it gives me a sense of peace and comfort to believe in a power greater than myself. So that's all I have. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. That was Elsie M. from Pennsylvania, and next up we have Sally A., followed by Kimberly. Come on in, Sally.
Thank you, Kath. Good morning, everyone. It's Sally A. in New York. So my thoughts about this paragraph, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe? And I've said this many times that the bottom of 13, Bill's story, he says these are the essentials. And he gives us four essentials. And one of the essentials is belief in a higher power. And twice here, it tells us, do I now believe or am I willing to believe? And the beautiful thing about this is that if I don't believe and if I lack belief, I can actually pray and ask my higher power, my God, please make me willing. Make me willing to believe. Help me to be willing. Help me to open my heart and my mind and give me more belief. It goes on to say in the last sentence here, it has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, and another way to look at this simple cornerstone is, you know, I have this ex-husband who is an engineer, and for years I saw him at a drafting table. Cornerstone is something that is basically foundation to some building, to something being built. It's fundamental. And then people build the entire construction around that cornerstone. They place the cornerstone, and then the building foundation is placed based on the cornerstone. So when I see this word cornerstone, I see in my mind's eye scaffolding. If I want to walk up these steps to find a relationship with a higher power, then this is the beginning of the scaffolding, the building construction, the effective spiritual structure. And so when we talk about this program, I know people here that could be possibly brand new and saying, what in the world are we talking about? We are talking about what is going to solve the problem. And the problem is what's going on between my ears that's causing me to keep turning to the food. The food is the solution. The problem is what's going on between my ears that drives me to the food. And what we're being told here is first that it takes my belief in a higher power, and not just belief in a higher power, belief that I bring nothing to the table, that I have nothing to offer this disease, this dis-ease, that I must go to a higher power. That's where all the power is found. And then step two, came to believe. And if you have trouble believing, just close your eyes and say a prayer. If God, if you're there, show me. Help me to believe. Give me a willingness to believe and see what happens. That is the scaffolding. That is the structure for the 12 steps that lead us into a relationship with a higher power that has all the power that it takes to put the food
That's
down.
Fine, Sally.
Thank you for letting me share. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Sally A. from New York. Next up, we have Kimberly, followed by Felicia, and then Laurel. And when you come in, if you give me the first initial of your last name and where you're calling in from, and anyone that came in after we started, we are on page 47 in We Agnostics. We're in the second paragraph. We needed to ask ourselves to the end of that paragraph, structure can be built. Please come in, Kimberly.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathy. It's such a beautiful way to start my Wednesday morning. Thank you for your service. I like this paragraph a lot. For me, I needed to ask that question. Was I willing to believe? I feel I came into program believing, and it got proven when I went to the meeting and a woman was able to was volunteering to sponsor. I was like, yes, I know I need a sponsor. So I was brought to my knees. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you well, Kimberly.
Okay. I was brought to my knees, and that was by the grace of God. And, you know, cornerstone for sure, the foundation, but also meeting these wonderfully recovered women and are my capstone. I had the desire and willing to go to any lengths. And the capstone is that there were people in recovery, people that would do their service and continue to direct me to the miracle of a higher power, that it is worth my energy. It is the capstone. It is the cornerstone. I can't do life without turning my will and my life over to a care of someone, to the care of a higher power, much higher than me. And by the grace of God, I don't suffer those DTs of trying to get abstinent. I am abstinent, and I know that's by the grace of God. Otherwise, I would be good and dead, died dead. And I think that's all I have to say. I love my God, and I could not live without him. So I pass. Thank you.
Kimberly, before you go, can you give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling in from, please?
Right. Thank you, Kathy. Kimberly K., and I'm from New Hampshire.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. Next up, we have Felicia, followed by Laurel, and then Suzanne. Felicia, please give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling in from, and come on in and share with us, please.
Sure. Thank you so much for your service. I am Felicia S. from New Jersey, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater. Love this paragraph. And I'm so grateful to be with you guys this morning, and mostly sane and sober in the food. So for me, this paragraph means so much because when I got here, I was like, I thought I had a relationship with God because I was in another fellowship. And what I didn't realize is that it was a transactional and conditional relationship. And that's why I kept relapsing in the food. I was not completely willing to believe that God could help me with food. He could help me with other things, but not with this. And the second was, you don't understand, I'm different, I'm unique, I'm a survivor, I was abused, blah, blah, blah. And I say blah, 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 not that that isn't important, it isn't relevant, it is important, but it's not relevant to whether or not I can recover. When I start putting things that make me unique and different, when I start listing a bunch of reasons that I can't have a relationship with God, or you don't understand I'm different, I am separating myself not only from God, but from all of you. And I put myself in this terrible place that is just about misery. And the only thing that I start to believe that can help me is food. And that's the lie for me. So for me, and just my experience, it's not enough for me to just believe that you believe. That's a good start on the days I'm lost. I can remember that y'all believe and y'all are miracles and you all are doing this one day at a time. And that can give me the strength and the courage to ask the God of my understanding to help me, because I need that personal relationship and that personal connection. And what's great about this chapter is it gives me a whole bunch of euphemisms, because Bill was real smart. If I can't use the word God, I have spirit of the universe, creative intelligence. Like, I get a whole choice to decide how I'm going to connect with this power that isn't me, and how I'm going to charge in so that I can recover, so that I can have this life beyond my wildest dreams. Incredibly, incredibly grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Felicia S. from New Jersey. Next up, we have Laurel, followed by Suzanne, Bonnie, and then Sima. And after Sima, I can take some more names. Laurel, please come in and share with us. Tell us where you're calling in from.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for taking the meeting. My name is Laurel. It's spelled L-A-U-R-Y-L, and B is my last initial, and I'm calling in from Chicago, Illinois. Grateful, really grateful to be here this morning. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. When I'm willing to believe there's a power greater than myself, then I can pray to follow his will and not my own. three things that motivate me to turn situations over to him and do his will. First, I have less stress and worry less when I turn my will over. Second, I realize that God's will turns out to be better than mine. And lastly, I expend less energy in trying to figure things out. When I'm willing to believe, I can also start practicing spiritual principles like being honest and self-sacrificing for the good of others. Finally, it's easier to believe that there's a power greater than myself when I see recovery working in other people's lives. Given that I'm experiencing a recovery that I didn't think was possible, I can only assume that there is a power greater than myself at work in my life as well. So that's all I have. With that, I pass. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. That's Laurel B. from Illinois. Next up, we have Suzanne, Bonnie, and then Sima. Suzanne, please come in and share with us.
Good morning, Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. Kathy, thank you for your commitment coming here every Wednesday. I understand, like, commit, that's one of the things we learn in this program, right? Willingness to make commitment. We've been talking about Cornerstone, and for me, that is God. But, you know, along with that, the Cornerstone is willingness, right? I need to be willing to put down the food. I need to be willing to get a sponsor. I need to be willing to go to meetings, to do step work, to carry the message, food plan and food prep, all these things that are new when I come in. But in order for me to surrender, that goes with it. You know, when I pray at night now and in the morning, I ask God to help me stay clean, abstinent, and willing. And at the end of the day, I thank him for helping me stay clean, abstinent, and willing. Without willingness, I have nothing. And what did I learn from that? The tools of the program, praying and meditating and working with others and calls and just so many wonderful things that I've learned here, right? And why have I learned it? Through my willingness to turn my life over to God. He has done everything for me, including removed 100 pounds. He's released 100 pounds for me. A miracle. I look in a mirror every day, and I cannot believe who's looking back. And, you know, that's only through his grace and mercy. But I have to have the willingness to show up and do the work, right? It just doesn't happen by osmosis. Steps. You know, the steps are so important. I was sharing last night, when I go through the steps, when I finish 12, I'm back to one again, okay? It's a continuum. There is no graduation, finishing. And what do I get that? I get such a freedom. I have mental and emotional and physical recovery. I already talked about the physical. And mentally, like the clarity that I have just to do the next right thing. All the things we pray for that were taught in the big book, those things all do happen as long as I stay in touch with my higher power. And emotionally, the ability to not have to overreact to everything, just to take things in stride. And I'll finish with this. One of the things, one of my meditations tells me is that anything that I feel is rejection is not, it's just redirection, right? So it's higher power telling me, no, that's not going to work for you, go this direction. And when I listen to him, everything is amazing. And I love this meeting. This meeting, I didn't mention that. This meeting has saved my life also. I love all of you and have a beautiful and abstinent day.
Thank you so much, Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Bonnie B., followed by Sima. We're on page 47, the second paragraph. We needed to ask ourselves. After Sima, I can take a second lineup. Bonnie, please come in and share with us.
Hey, good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you for all the shares. They have been, as always, beautiful and profound. This is Bonnie B., living in Minnesota, but actually from Florida. So one short question. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe? I came into the program, most of you know, with a faith, and I would have said, yes, I believed. I mean, it was the cornerstone of my life, or so I thought. But here's the reality. I didn't really believe. It was a God with strings attached. Because when life happened, and when life continues to happen, the only question that I have to ask myself is, am I willing to accept life on life's terms? Can I lean into this as if I had chosen it? And the God of my understanding is always, 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 always wanting what's best for me. Profound shares. Yes, I believe that when sad things happen to those that are around us, to our fellow man, I believe that the God of my understanding, my God, is weeping. That was never his intention, for us to hurt each other. But as was stated earlier, we have free will. Man has been given free will. And so sometimes you look around, you think, but where is God in all of this? For people that come in without a faith, if I sponsor someone, I'll say, that's not a problem. Get a notebook. Put on the front of that notebook, fingerprints of higher power, and then you just watch. You watch how God shows up in phone calls, in meetings. When the food is down, that entire abstinence thing, when that food is down, that voice is alive inside of me. That still, small voice whispering to me, showcasing himself. And little by little, what happens, there's that slow growth, that structure that we're talking about, that wonderful spiritual structure that ends up being built. It's because God does show up, and God does want to show up, and he wants to showcase himself to me. But I have to be willing to forego my idea of what I deserve in the Hallmark movie and trust him that he is big enough to not only handle my food, but everything else. Because when the food was down, then it became, what about everything else? And it has to be all of it. And I'll tell you what, I have a life better than I ever, ever, ever could have imagined or dreamed. And it's not a Hallmark movie, and it's not a magical life. I'm connected to my Creator, and I live in a constant state of peace and his presence, and I don't know what else life has to offer but that. I think I'll pass with that. And once again, blessings to you all, and thanks so much for your service.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Next up, we have Sim M., and then after Sim, I can take another lineup. Sim, please come in and share with us.
Hi, this is Sim M., grateful. Compulsive overeater living in recovery for 13 years now since I came back to OA. After hiatus of many years, I first came into OA 51 years ago. But I think when I came back, if I hadn't found vision, I don't know whether I would have found the message. The reason I left is because I wasn't getting the message. I heard about the message when I first came in from somebody from AA who was in OA and leading big book meetings. But then he passed away, and there was nobody practicing it. If you don't have people practicing it, what are you going to learn? I learned that a food plan was a higher power. I learned that a different food plan was a higher power. I learned that meetings were a higher power. And I learned that prayer was a higher power, but I didn't really have a connection. I was always willing to believe. I was brought up, I had a parochial school education, and I believed everything I was taught about God and the miracles of God and how God, I didn't have any questions. I didn't question God. I didn't question the Holocaust. I just believed what I was taught, which was that God knows everything. God is God's will. And I didn't become a compulsive eater, interestingly, until I left that school, because we used to pray every day. So sometimes I used to think maybe it was the fact that I didn't pray every day when I stopped going to that school when I was a teenager, but that's when I started compulsively overeating. And so when I came into the program and they said, willing to believe the power greater than ourselves. I was like, yeah, I'm willing. I have no problem. I believe. But I never got the people working the program to help me get the message until I came back to OA after quite a long break 13 years ago. And shortly after that, I found Vision for You. And here were people that were working, walking the walk, using the message that I had learned but had never been able to practice. And I'm grateful for that. So it's possible to believe, but if you don't have somebody to help you with it, believing on its own isn't enough. I'll pass.
Sima, thank you so much. That was Sima M. from New Jersey. I'm now ready to take our second lineup. Please press star 1 and give me your first name, and I'll take the
Lynn
lineup.
Lynn S.
Anne Marie M.
Moraine M.
Miami.
Okay, I have Lynn, Anne Marie, and somebody from Miami.
Moraine S.
Rich B.
Michelle M.
Okay, let me tell you who I have, and we'll go from there. Okay, I have Lynn, Anne-Marie, Marini, Rich, and Michelle. Lynn, please come in and give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling. Lynn?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm here, Kathy. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi there.
Good morning, Vision. Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. It always amazes me, you know, when we're reading this and all of a sudden a line strikes you as it never did before. And that's what happened this morning. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? And why that's meaning so much to me now is I've always associated it with the beginning when I came into program. But this time, 3 years ago in June, I was coming out of a 6-day relapse. I didn't know I was coming out of it. I was in a 6-day relapse. And I did not want to put the food down. Absolutely did not want to. I had a lot of eating left in me. I hadn't done it all yet. And I was furious, just so angry, you know, and sharing with people. And people would say to me, Lynn, your voicemail makes me cry. And I thought, I don't care. I want the food. It's great. I love it. Just get out of my way. I don't want to put it down. I hate even the thought of it. I'm not done yet. And do you know, God didn't listen to me. Thank you, God. And He sent out a search and rescue mission for me. And that very next day, I woke up and I had been abstinent the day before. And I didn't even want to be. And that really is striking me. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, there is a power greater than myself? Against every fiber of my being and ranting and railing about not wanting to put the food down and not caring, I got God reached in and He touched that part in me, you know, that inherent part that's in every man, woman, and child. There is the fundamental idea of God, and He touched that part and rescued me in spite of me. So, yes, I do believe there is a power greater than myself. And I'm just amazed how over and over again we can read this, and then all of a sudden it speaks to us in a totally different way. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Lynn, thank you so much. Lynn S. from Toronto, Canada. Next up, we have Anne-Marie, followed by Vareni, Rich, and then Michelle. Anne-Marie, please come in and share with us.
Hey, good morning. This is Anne-Marie M., gratefully recovering through God's grace and mercy and living in South Carolina. Thank you, everyone's share. And I found that I needed the willingness, and I was grateful to have the willingness, and I do believe that came from God. I also needed to be honest and open-minded. So the willingness was there. I needed to be desperate also. And the desperation led me to be open-minded. I remember coming into my very first OA meeting, and I had been, some of you might know that I'm in AA also, and came in with like 3 years of AA, know-it-all, and walked into my OA meeting and thought, these people are not doing it right. Like, and there I was in the depths of the disease and just being arrogant and not open-minded. I went to the meeting because I was willing. Yeah, I wasn't willing to do all that others were doing. And I needed to get totally desperate. So for me, it was a combination of what, you know, is talked about in the appendix too, willingness, honesty, and openness. And so I needed all three of those. I needed to be totally honest with everything that was going on in my life, and also to, erase what I thought I knew and become open-minded to what other people were doing. And so, and the willingness to be wanting it bad enough. So, you know, willingness is really important. I found I needed, others. And I like that they say we empathetically assure him. I love that these men were, empathetic with people that really wanted to stop drinking, yet they had a difficult time. And I find sometimes people, if I tell them I'm having a difficult time, I think they mean well, but, you know, I had one person recently tell me, well, you're just not ready. And it was cold, and I got off the phone and I thought, oh no, you know, am I not ready? It was so doubtful and just wondering, you know, when am I going to be ready? So I appreciate those that can be empathetic and understanding. I pass with that. Thanks.
Amory, thank you so much. Amory M. from South Carolina. Next up, we have Moraine S., Rich P., and then Michelle. Come on in, Moraine. Moraine, star one to unmute yourself, please.
Thank you, family, so much here for your service. Oh, wow. This I'm so grateful for everybody here behind the scenes and making this possible for us on a daily basis. Oh, my God. So do I believe or am I willing to believe there's a power greater than myself? I'm from the Deep South, New Orleans, Bible Belt. Hallelujah Sunday, F.U. Monday. I do what I want to do. And so when I walk in the grocery store, can I say, do I believe, or am I willing to believe? Can I trust God with all my heart, soul, and my might? Is he in control in this moment when I walk in the grocery store down the pastry aisle? When I'm with my friends and they're all drinking alcohol and all I want is those cupcakes, you know, they've got alcohol. Give me the sugar when I'm partying, when I'm sad, when I'm facing an issue that I can't think myself out of and I want to take my willingness back. Yes, I believe. But this paragraph is talking about the last sentence. It says, a spiritual structure can be built. Something in my structure is a little effed up. And they have a star in this book. He's talking about a spiritual experience that I already thought I couldn't get any more of. But you know what? There's no end. I have to do these steps. I'm new in here. I'm 7 months in, and I know that I'm crawling on the floor to the door
of this program with all of you who have so much deep recovery. But I know my resistance. I am of the educational variety, Ivy League trained. So this is taking me some time because the agreement happens in my brain between my ears when I say yes or no to that first bite. So my resistance is thick. I'm the go-to person in my family for crisis and tragedy and well-educated. And I've seen a lot of accolades in my life. But my know-it-all, can I walk in this grocery store? Those moments, no, I believe, but it is those subtle moments when they creep in and I take my willingness back. Oh, I believe.
That's
I take it back over and over. I thank you all, everyone here, for all your amazing recovery. Thank you.
Thank you so much, that Ms. Marini S. from Florida. Rich and Michelle, we have 5 minutes left, so if you could each take 2.5 minutes, we can get you both in. Rich, please come in and tell us where you're calling in from.
My name is Rich. Rich B., compulsive overeater, bulimic, 100-pounder from Los Angeles. And thank you all for being here. For me is to believe I had to hit truly, truly hit bottom. And I did that after a very bad long relapse because thinking that, you know, I was fixed. And, you know, I remember, you know, it's now almost 2.5 years ago, lying in the hospital for the third time, being strapped to a bed because I'm a fall risk, bleeding out from this disease, saying, this is it. This is it. I either come back to program and do it and take direction or basically drop dead and go to sleep. And, you know, for some reason, you know, right at that moment, it's like after a third pint of blood, God, I felt like a warmth. It's like, you know what? You go back to program, you'll be okay. You abstain, you'll be okay. Stop killing yourself. And I was fortunate to be detoxed, you know, literally in the hospital, strapped to a bed the day after my wife filed for divorce after 27 years. And it was the hardest 2 years of my life abstaining through hell. But I was told by people in the program that if you can do that, you can do anything. And I've done that. And it's a miracle, you know, and it's not me, you know, the miracle to get to a normal body weight. Miracle to help others. You know, I'm in Los Angeles to wake up at 4 a.m. for a sponsor that doesn't show up, you know, and, you know, basically have to let go. But that's a miracle. And I'm just grateful to be here. You know, I'd love to talk to anybody who's struggling because anybody here, if you're on this call and not eating, you're abstinent. And we could help you keep it. So thank you all for being here. That's all I'll say.
Thank you. Thank you, Rich B. from California. And last up, we have Michelle. Please come in. Michelle, you have about 2 minutes, if that's okay for you. Please come in.
Good morning. This is Michelle M. from Arizona, recovered. Yes, this has been a wonderful meeting. And I'm reminded every day that, you know, I change on a daily basis. So by coming every day and listening to people, I'm gifted with perspective that is not my own. That is, and it has always been that way. And that is just a testament to the change of what can happen because I'm not the person I was yesterday. Good, bad, or indifferent. There's no judgment to it. Willingness for me was not, I used to think it was a declarative statement, you know, yes, I'm willing, go from A to Z. And that, for me, it wasn't like that. For me, I got to willingness by taking action. I got my body there and my mind followed. And it's so counterintuitive because I want to see an immediate result. I want to see what's going to happen. And that was letting go of all of my old ideas. And that is a lifetime practice. I still have to do it every day. And, you know, I come from this, like, I compare myself, and comparison is the thief of joy. So I will compare myself, like, if I was raised, like, kind of as a holiday Catholic, and I would look at all these people and having something that I didn't think I had, even as a kid, and I can go into meetings and listen to people and think, oh, my God, how do they do that? I don't have that. Now I understand why it is so brutal for me to have a God of my own understanding. And that was my cornerstone. You know, pain is a touch on the spiritual growth. If it's got testicles or tires, it's going to give you trouble. You know, all of those things. And you know what? I never learned valuable lessons from, you know, swinging from a chandelier. It's always been through experience, and it's just getting myself there. And that's the way this program works for me. And if I don't want to do it, it really doesn't matter. I have to practice the positive opposite, and when I see the result, I become willing. And
that's fine, Michelle.
Perfect. I'm done. Thank you for your service.
Michelle, thank you so much for sharing the time. I appreciate it. And thank you, everyone who shared today. Please join us for a set. Oh, wait, that was Michelle M. from Arizona. Thank you, everyone. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. Share ID for today, Wednesday, June 24th, 2026, is 23,576. That's 23576. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 184, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sally A. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Come on in, Sally.
Okay, Kath, thank you. Me again, everybody.
Thank you.
Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you.